light, all honor and glory to Christ forever. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy.
To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms. Shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Today we're going to start with the Psalm 148. I will read the odd verses, and if you would please join for the even verses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the heaven, you sea monsters and all the deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him.
Praise the Lord. The reading today, the second reading, is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel for this fifth Sunday of Easter, taken from John chapter 13, beginning with verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God also will glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite any children to come forward for the children's message at this time.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about rules. Do you guys have any rules at home? What kind of rules are there? Do you have any rules? Yeah, that's a good one. Like for us, usually our parents tell us to not lie, to not fight, to not hurt others, and to not cheat. Now in today's gospel, Jesus gives us a rule, well, more like a commandment, he says, to love one another. Now, this rule isn't what we shouldn't do, it's about what we should do. Now, that just seems kind of more easy because it's only one rule. Well, that's where we are wrong. Sometimes people are not always lovable, and it's hard to treat them with kindness when they are not kind to you. Well, we can show love, kindness to others by opening the door, saying hello, showing a smile. You know, it's not hard to show little acts of kindness, but sometimes it is. Now, what do you guys think the cookie for today is? It's a hard one. Any ideas? Well, it's a heart to go with love. I know it was a tough one. So now we're all going to hold hands and say a little prayer. And you can repeat after me. Yeah, let's go over here. Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you for all the blessings you've given us and teaching us how to love one another. Amen.
You can remain seated for our next hymn. It's number 531. The Trumpet Sound. On this Sit to My Weekend, in which we celebrate the past, this is a hymn, a new hymn for most all of us. It's by a Danish composer, so you can consider it a cross-cultural experience this morning. It doesn't sound like a Scandinavian hymn, though, most likely to you. I've asked Sylvie to play it through once before we start singing.
Trumpet sound, the angels sing, the feast is ready to begin. The gates of heaven are open wide, and Jesus welcomes you inside. Sing with thankfulness songs of pure delight, and revel in heaven's love and light. Take your place at the table of the King. The feast is ready to begin. The feast is ready to begin. Tables are laden with the things. Oh, taste the peace and joy he brings. Now fill you up with all divine. He'll turn your water into wine. Sing with thankfulness songs of pure delight. Come and revel in heaven's love and light. Take your place at the table of the King. The feast is ready to begin. The feast is ready to begin. The hungry heart is satisfied. The thirst, the poor, his paradise. Now hear all heaven and earth applaud. The amazing goodness of the Lord. Sing with thankfulness songs of pure delight.
Thank you. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It went up in flames. The videos were all over the news and the internet. The locals and the tourists watched in horror as the beloved Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris went up in flames a few weeks ago. The beautiful Gothic cathedral, stained glass windows, irreplaceable pieces of art, were at risk and some were damaged. Someone asked, is it still a church? Do people worship there? Which brings up the question, how do you know whether you're looking at a church or a museum? Is it an organization that offers a certain number of programs? Is it if people worship in it, whether they charge admission? Is it the architecture, the organ, the stained glass? Depending on how you calculate it, it's been said that there are between 33,000 and 50,000 Christian denominations or affiliations of congregations in existence today. Martin Luther and the 15th century reformers would insist that the church isn't the architecture or the building, but the gathering of people where the word is preached and the sacraments are administered. In our gospel this morning, Jesus puts it even more bluntly. Did you hear it? He says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Jesus provides an image of what the church that bears his name will look like. It has nothing to do with buildings or programs. It has everything to do with the hearts of those who call themselves his followers. Jesus imagines a church whose primary characteristic is that of love. It's really the only commandment that Jesus specifically gave. If you didn't know anything else about the Christian faith than these words, you'd still have a pretty good idea of what the church is about. Love one another. It's ridiculously easy to understand and ridiculously hard to do. The scene for our gospel is the Last Supper, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet and offered these words, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about isn't a summer movie's definition of a romantic love. It isn't just being nice to everyone or loving only those whom it is easy to love. By washing the disciples' feet, Jesus demonstrates his love for the disciples who will fail him miserably. Judas will end up betraying him. Peter will deny him. Others will fail to stand by him at the foot of the cross. Jesus will demonstrate just how much God loves the world by dying for those who sought to harm him. What words would you have chosen to motivate your followers to continue the work that you've begun as you prepare to leave? Jesus could have said, keep the faith, or keep trying. but instead he offered the simple and challenging word, love one another. The world will know we are Jesus' disciples by our love, not by our programs, our social statements, our sermons, our sacraments, our Bible studies, our cathedrals, or our family values. Perhaps if push comes to shove, the one and only thing Jesus wants his disciples to know and remember when he is gone is that is not evangelize one another, it's not keep each other accountable, not give money to the church, not resist temptation, not make me proud, but love one another. It's not by our theological correctness or by our political correctness or our moral purity or by our impressive knowledge that everyone will know we are his disciples. It's quite simply by our acts of love that the love of God for the world will be made known. Loving is what we do and what the world needs. Last week, we heard again of a shooting in a school in Colorado. We continue to hear of violence and conflict in Israel and Palestine. We again hear divisive rhetoric in our own country. When we respond with Jesus' commandment to love one another, it's an act of defiance. A defiant response to those who might try down and tear our communities apart with fear and hate. As our acts of love become visible to others, our children, our spouses, our friends, they'll be a witness to the one who first loved us. You've experienced those acts of love. Last Sunday, we celebrated the difference that our mothers have made in our lives. Theirs is a sacred call to love. In our gospel lesson a few weeks ago, Jesus compared himself to a mothering hen, aware of the danger surrounding her chicks and wanting to gather them under her wings. As we follow in Jesus' example, the examples of mothers and fathers in our lives, the world will know us by our love. We live in a violent world. Our country is not immune. We long for ways to work together and make things better. Today, we're invited to release fear and anger as we reflect on the love that we've come to know through Jesus. It's an invitation to live in a more Christ-like way. We can become the beacons of light in our community, our world, that illuminate, however brightly or dimly, better ways for us to live together. This is something that you can do. You are the ones for whom Christ died and for whom Christ lives. You are a new creation, and it's something that you are already doing. I'm confident that you're doing it in hundreds of ways each week, caring for each other, lifting each other up in prayer, supporting one another with a phone call, a text, a handshake, a smile, a hug, a word of encouragement, a word of forgiveness, a word of hope that everything is in God's hands and God is faithful. We don't love perfectly, but we are loved perfectly. So this week I invite you to choose love. Perhaps it will look like looking out for the interests of a friend or stranger, or overlooking the slight of a friend, or putting aside one's own goals to help others achieve theirs. Perhaps it will be responding to the crisis of Petersburg running out of eggs over Sitt Demai by sharing what you have. In all seriousness, loving those who are most different from us due to sex or age or political views or sexual orientation or beliefs or values can be very difficult. Loving those who wish us harm, those who seek to hurt us or take advantage of us, is a high calling. The reality is that there will be a situation this week where you'll find it difficult to love someone. Maybe it'll be incredibly hard to forgive someone who's hurt you, or difficult to move beyond the disappointment caused by a family member or friend. The truth of the matter is that we do love regularly, and we do fail regularly. And that's okay. That's why we come together each week. The church is a safe place where we can give thanks for the love that we have received, for the love we have given to others, and to lift up in prayer those whom we find it difficult to love. The stained glass window behind me reminds us that it wasn't easy for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to choose the path of sacrificial love when he prayed, "Not my will be done, but thine." Jesus went to the cross to reveal that, in fact, God so loved the world that God gave his only Son for you. Now we've been given the command to love one another. It's scary in some ways to think that it's by my actions, our actions, that others will know we are Jesus' disciples. Who am I? Who are we to bear that responsibility? However, lest you think that you're not up to the task, hear David Loess's words, and I quote, "Jesus went to the cross to show in word and deed that God is love, and that we as God's children are loved. So whether we succeed or fail in our attempts to love one another this week, God and Jesus loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And hearing of this love, we are set free and sent forth once again to love one another," unquote. As that happens, the world will come a little closer to knowing God's love, at least in our corner, our sphere of influence, our neighborhood, our workplaces, our borough and hospital board meetings, our dinner tables, our coffee tables. As Jesus said, "By this they will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus imagines a church whose primary characteristic is that of love, not a building or a program. He imagines a church whose members care so deeply about each other and the world that the world can't help but notice. May God bless you as you reflect that love this week. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able as we sing our sermon hymn number 631.